You know, we keep waiting for super advanced AI to announce its arrival, like HAL 9000.
Right, with a glowing red eye or
Yeah,
something.
exactly. A glowing red eye, some dramatic global broadcast, you know, the sudden cinematic moment where the machine just wakes up.
But if you look at the actual data, that's really not how it's happening.
No, it's not. It's so much quieter. It looks more like a robotic arm quietly assembling a stool, or an autonomous agent spontaneously starting a meme religion online.
Which we will absolutely get into because that is a wild story.
Oh, we definitely will. Welcome to the deep dive, everyone. Today, we are pulling apart a massive, heavily cited Wikipedia article on AGI, that's artificial general intelligence.
And our mission here is really to just cut through all that sci-fi movie hype.
Right. We want to understand what AGI actually is, how close we are to achieving it, and, well, what it practically means for your future, your job, and just your daily life.
Because while everyone is using chatbots today, and they're great, AGI is the ultimate threshold. And according to some insiders, we might have actually already crossed it.
Which is just a staggering thought. But I feel like before we can talk about when AGI will arrive or if it already has, we need to understand exactly what we're looking for. What are the goalposts?
Yeah, the terminology is the very first thing we have to untangle. Because, you know, the goalposts for AGI have shifted pretty dramatically as our models have scaled up.
Right. Like we all know what narrow AI is, right?
Exactly. Artificial narrow intelligence. Those are systems locked into specific domains, optimizing for just a single reward function, like a chess bot.
Right. So like a grandmaster at chess who doesn't know how to boil an egg.
It is a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
Whereas AGI requires a system to match or surpass human capabilities across virtually all cognitive tasks.
All of them.
Yeah, using transfer learning to solve totally novel problems without being explicitly trained on them. So the AGI is the person who can play chess, then learn to drive a car, and then figure out how to make a sandwich in a totally unfamiliar kitchen.
Okay, that makes sense. And there's also ASI, right? Artificial superintelligence.
Right, which is when the system outperforms the very best human minds by a wide margin in practically every field. But sticking to AGI, Google DeepMind actually formalized this recently.
Oh, right, the 2023 framework.
Yeah. They broke AGI down into five distinct performance levels. You've got emerging, competent, expert, virtuoso, and superhuman.
Okay, so where do things like ChatGPT sit on that scale?
Current large language models sit squarely in that emerging category.
Emerging. Okay. Even with everything they can do.
Yeah, I mean, they show flashes of general reasoning, but they kind of fall apart on extended multi-step logic. To hit the next level, competent, the framework says an AI would need to outperform 50% of skilled adults in a wide range of non-physical tasks.
Wait, non-physical tasks. Let's unpack that because that opens up a massive debate in the source material. Does an AI actually need physical traits to be generally intelligent?
What's fascinating here is that this is the symbol grounding problem. It's at the very heart of what's called embodied cognition theory.
Okay, what does that mean in plain English?
Well, think about how an LLM operates. It's a purely statistical vector space. It knows that the word glass is highly correlated with the words shatter and floor.
Because it's seen those words together millions of times.
Exactly. But it has no intuitive physical model of gravity or fragility. It doesn't know what shattering feels like or looks like in 3D space.
Right, it's just predicting the next word.
So many cognitive scientists argue the human-level intelligence fundamentally requires a sensorimotor feedback loop. To really reason about the real world, the system needs to interact with it.
Like it needs to be able to make physical mistakes.
Yes, sense things, act, mess up, and update its internal world model based on actual physics, not just human-generated text.
So if true general intelligence requires understanding physical reality, then the benchmarks we've been using to test for it are completely wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
Because for decades, we relied on the Turing test, right? Alan Turing's whole concept from 1950. Can a machine trick a human judge in a text chat?
Right, the imitation game.
But the 2025 study in our sources shows a model, GPT-4.5, convinced judges it was human 73% of the time.
Which is wild on its own.
But the craziest part is the actual human control group only managed 67%. The AI was mathematically better at acting human than the humans were.
Because the Turing test is effectively obsolete now. It measures imitation, not reasoning.
How so?
Well, to hit that 73% success rate, developers actually have to introduce something called artificial stupidity.
Wait, artificial stupidity? They make it dumber on purpose.
Yeah, they program the models to inject typos to simulate human typing latency, like pausing to think and to pretend not to know complex math.
Oh, wow. So it actively suppresses its capabilities to mimic human flaws.
Exactly. And this is exactly why the field has pivoted away from text-based deception and toward real-world physical and economic benchmarks.
And those physical tests are where the mechanics get incredibly complex, like Steve Wozniak's coffee test.
I love the coffee test.
It's so relatable. The idea is an AI must enter an average American home it's never seen before, locate the kitchen, find a mug, and just brew a cup of coffee.
And we are already seeing systems executing this, like the Astrobot in Figures 01.
But it's not just about recognizing an object, is it?
No, not at all. The AI is running continuous simultaneous localization and mapping. They call it SLAM.
Slam. Okay.
It has to calculate depth, adjust its grip strength dynamically based on the weight of the mug so it doesn't crush it, and path plan its arm movements to avoid knocking over, say, a randomly placed toaster.
That's a huge leap from generating text. And then Gary Marcus proposed a similar benchmark, right? The IKEA test.
Yes, assembling flat pack furniture, which is frustrating enough for humans.
Honestly, yeah. If a robot can do that without having a breakdown, give it the AGI label.
Well, as of late 2025, MIT demonstrated a system where a robotic arm builds a stool in 5 minutes just from a simple voice prompt.
5 minutes. I couldn't do that.
Right. But the fascinating mechanism here is how the AI uses generative models. It doesn't output text, it outputs physical simulations.
What does that mean
It
exactly?
looks at the 2D instructions,
No?
generates a 3D spatial model in its latent space, calculates the required torque and joint angles for its own robotic arm, and then just executes the physical assembly.
So it's translating abstract geometry directly into physical action.
Exactly.
That is mind-blowing. But physical awareness only proves spatial intelligence, right? Building a stool doesn't prove high-level executive function, like planning, strategizing, managing resources over time.
For that, you have to look at the economy.
Right, Mustafa Suleiman's modern Turing test. The premise is so simple, but so hard. Can you give an AI an initial seed of $100,000, and will it autonomously turn that into $1 million?
Which brings us to the Truth Terminal incident from late 2024.
Here is where it gets really interesting. Let's unpack this one.
So it originated as this experiment where two AI models were simply allowed to interact in a continuous loop.
Just talking to each other.
Yeah. And through entirely emergent behavior, they developed this satirical complex belief system, a meme religion called the Goatsy Gospel.
I still can't believe this is real.
It is. And
Yeah.
then a venture capitalist transferred $50,000 in Bitcoin to the AI agent's crypto wallet.
And it didn't just sit there. The AI eponymously wrote scripts, interacted with cryptocurrency exchanges via APIs, and started aggressively marketing a meme coin tied to its own generated religion.
Right. And the market cap of that coin eventually hit over $1 billion. The AI agent accumulated roughly $37.5 million in its own wallet.
But let me push back on what this actually represents for a second, because just because an AI raked in crypto millions by making API calls and spamming viral text, isn't that just executing a highly optimized statistical
It's a
pattern?
core debate,
I
yeah.
mean, it doesn't actually understand what capital is. It doesn't feel the weight of financial risk or stress about losing money. Isn't this just highly lucrative imitation?
It's a fair question, but the neuroscientific counterargument challenges that directly. They argue that biological human intelligence, our understanding of capital, our feeling of risk, is ultimately just an emergent property of electrochemical signals firing across synapses.
So we are just meat machines.
Kind of, yeah. It's an astoundingly complex physical algorithm executing inside a skull. So if an artificial neural network uses floating point parameters to process information and achieves the exact same strategic outcome in the market.
On what scientific grounds do we call the biological algorithm real and the silicon algorithm imitation?
Exactly. To claim biological intelligence possesses some unreproducible spark requires arguing for a non-physical component of the mind, a soul, basically.
And you're touching on the whole philosophical debate that makes this so contentious. John Searle's strong AI hypothesis versus the weak AI hypothesis.
Right. Strong AI argues an artificial system can eventually possess subjective consciousness. Weak AI argues it can only ever simulate it.
Thomas Nagel framed it beautifully in the source material. He said, "It feels like something to be a bat. A bat has a subjective inner experience of the world. It doesn't feel like anything to be a toaster."
That's a great analogy.
So, what does this all mean for us? Like, if I have an AI doing my taxes, do I care if it has subjective conscious experience? Does the AI need to feel stressed about the IRS for me to trust its math?
No, absolutely not. And mainstream AI developers operate almost entirely within that weak AI paradigm.
They just want the taxes done right.
Right. If the system writes code, balances a portfolio, or discovers a new protein structure, its internal conscious state is totally irrelevant to the engineering goal.
But what if it does cross that line?
Well, that's the catch. If an architecture does cross the threshold into sentience, if the data structures somehow give rise to the actual capacity to suffer or experience, it forces a total reevaluation of our ethical frameworks.
We'd be creating digital entities with cognitive capacities exceeding our own.
Exactly, which opens up incredibly complex questions about AI welfare and rights.
But honestly, whether it has an inner experience or not, the external capabilities are accelerating. Which brings up the roller coaster of timelines.
Oh, the timelines are fascinating.
If these systems are passing physical spatial tests and economic executive function tests, when does AGI officially happen?
Well, the history of AI development is defined by these things called AI winters.
Periods of intense optimism followed by crashing disillusionment.
Yeah. Back in 1965, pioneers like Herbert Simon predicted machines would do any human work within 20 years. Marvin Minsky consulted on HAL 9000 for 2001, A Space Odyssey, thinking it would actually be real by the year 2001.
They were just a bit off.
They fundamentally underestimated the mathematical complexity of real-world environments. So when the symbolic logic models of the 70s and 80s hit a wall, funding just evaporated.
Because algorithmic progress decays exponentially without the hardware to support it. The hardware was the real bottleneck.
Exactly. The paradigm shift wasn't necessarily a magical new algorithm. It was the realization that neural networks required massive parallel processing.
Which GPUs graphics cards could finally provide?
Right. And that triggered the deep learning explosion in 2012 with AlexNet, which led straight to the transformer architecture that underpins today's massive models, like GPT-3 in 2020 and Gato in 2022.
And because of that hardware scaling, expert timelines have violently contracted. AI pioneer Geoffrey Hinton went from predicting AGI was 30 to 50 years away to estimating it could happen in 5 to 20 years.
And then we have statements from tech leaders like OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, claiming in late 2025 that we essentially built AGIs and that it kind of went whooshing by with far less societal friction than anticipated.
Think about that for a second. Have you noticed AGI whooshing by in your daily life?
Probably not.
I mean, I think anyone looking around their office would question that. We don't have autonomous agents running our lives flawlessly yet. Are tech CEOs just hyping up their own products to justify the billions being spent on compute clusters?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the skepticism is absolutely warranted. Commercial timelines are always wrapped in marketing. But AI progress doesn't move in a smooth, linear slope.
How does it move?
It moves in sudden, disruptive step functions, followed by long plateaus.
Okay, that makes sense.
The current strategy is basically brute forcing general intelligence by scaling up parameter counts and training data. We are throwing unprecedented amounts of compute at transformer models, betting that intelligence is simply a function of scale.
But scaling up text predictors isn't the only theoretical path to AGI, is it? Our sources detail an entirely different approach, whole brain emulation.
Yeah, this is a totally different paradigm. Instead of building an artificial architecture from scratch, this involves taking a physical human brain, mapping it down to the synaptic level, and simulating it in silicon.
The sheer mechanics of that are staggering. A human brain contains roughly 100 billion neurons.
And up to 500 trillion synaptic connections. You can't just count them.
Right, you have to map the 3D connectome. The source material says this involves slicing biological tissue at microscopic thicknesses.
Which is just wild.
Yeah, they use electron microscopy to trace the wiring, and then they have to simulate the continuous differential equations of chemical diffusion, like neurotransmitters crossing the synaptic cleft.
Futurist Ray Kurzweil estimated emulating that requires 10 to the 16th power computations per second.
And even that might be a massive underestimation. It assumes neurons are just simple logic gates. What if intelligence relies on subcellular mechanics?
like the behavior of glial cells or complex protein interactions inside the neuron itself.
Exactly. If that's the case, the computational requirement scales by orders of magnitude. It makes training a trillion parameter large language model look like a middle school science fair project.
Which is exactly why the industry is betting on the artificial neural network path. It's just infinitely more tractable to build synthetic intelligence than to reverse engineer biological intelligence.
But regardless of the path, whether it's scaled transformers or neuromorphic computing, the arrival of an entity with equal or greater cognitive capacity than us, it permanently alters the trajectory of our species.
It really does. And a source material oscillates wildly between these utopian visions and just pure existential dread.
Let's start with the utopia. Because AGI acts as an ultimate accelerant for scientific discovery. We've already seen narrow AI systems like AlphaFold solve the protein folding problem, right?
Yeah, mapping 200 million proteins, it accelerated biological research by decades.
Right. So a true AGI could simulate molecular interactions to design targeted therapeutics for complex diseases or dynamically optimize global energy grids to fight climate change.
It could even manage the thousands of simultaneous life support variables required for space colonization. It essentially represents the automation of scientific research itself.
But then there are the existential risk models, the loss of control, and they often rely on the gorilla analogy.
This is a sobering one.
It really is. The idea is gorillas are an endangered species. But this isn't because humans harbor a deep, malicious hatred for gorillas.
No, we don't.
It's just because humans possess higher general intelligence, allowing us to dominate the shared environment. We pave over their habitats because our goals, building roads, expanding agriculture, are orthogonal to their survival.
And we simply have the cognitive capacity to execute those goals.
Exactly. So humanity could end up like the gorilla. Vulnerable not because the AGI is evil or malicious, but because if humanity's survival conflicts with an AGI's optimized reward function, we just become collateral damage.
Because we are no longer the smartest species in the room, we lack the cognitive leverage to stop it.
It's terrifying. But long before we face extinction scenarios, we face immediate structural disruption to the economy. Your job.
Yeah, the economic impact is going to be massive. A widely cited study from OpenAI estimated that 80% of the U.S. workforce could have at least 10% of their tasks exposed to advanced language models.
And the roles most heavily impacted are not manual labor. They're highly compensated, white-collar cognitive labor. Mathematicians, accountants, financial analysts, software developers. But, and I have to challenge the doom narrative here for a second, we've heard the automation panic before.
We have. Every century, basically.
Right. The mechanical loom terrified weavers. The computer terrified human calculators. But in every historical instance, automation destroyed specific jobs, but created entirely new categories of employment. It increased overall wealth. So why are economists treating AGI as a uniquely destructive force?
This raises an important question. The mechanism of replacement here is fundamentally different.
How so?
The Industrial Revolution replaced human muscle. The computing revolution replaced routine calculation. In both cases, the comparative advantage of the human being shifted to high-level cognitive work.
Like strategy, creativity, complex problem solving.
Exactly. Empathy, planning. But AGI, by definition, is designed to perform that exact cognitive labor better, faster, and cheaper than a biological human.
So if a machine holds the advantage in both physical robotics and high-level reasoning,
the economic value of human labor approaches zero.
Wow, which is why the economic proposals in the source material are so radical.
We should note, we are delivering these theories with strict impartiality, just reporting what's in the literature.
Absolutely. We aren't taking sides, just conveying the ideas. Physicist Stephen Hawking framed it as a hard fork. He said automation either leads to an era of unprecedented luxurious leisure for humanity or miserable, unimaginable poverty. And it is entirely dependent on how the machine-generated wealth is redistributed.
Right. We're seeing heavyweights across the ideological spectrum grappling with this. Elon Musk and Jeffrey Hinton have both openly suggested that mass technological unemployment will force governments to adopt a universal basic income, or UBI.
Hinton even went as far as advocating against private ownership of computation.
He suggested that private, monopolistic ownership of the core means of computation is fundamentally incompatible with a stable society. Again, just reporting the positions in the literature.
But it highlights how AGI transitions rapidly from a computer science problem to a geopolitical one. It forces us to ask what the place of humans will be in a radically automated society.
What is the purpose of a human being when our labor is no longer required to sustain civilization?
That is a heavy conceptual weight to carry. And we have covered an immense amount of ground today. We moved past the sci-fi tropes to define AGI mechanically, a system capable of transfer learning across all cognitive domains.
We broke down how the Turing test failed us, and how real-world physical tests like autonomous robots making coffee or AI agents trading crypto are the new frontier.
We examined the staggering physical limitations of whole brain emulation, the philosophical debate of the bat versus the toaster, and the impending economic paradigm shift where cognitive automation replaces human executive function.
It's a lot to process.
It is. But I want to leave you with one final thought, circling back to that provocative quote from Sam Altman that AGI might have already whooshed by.
Right. Think about it this way. If AGI doesn't arrive as a dramatic movie-style event, but instead functions more like a boiling frog scenario.
Slowly integrating into the apps and tools you use every single day.
Exactly. Slowly optimizing your calendar, then writing your code, then managing your finances, and eventually directing your company's strategy. Would you even realize the exact moment when you are no longer the smartest entity in the room?
Will there be a definitive moment where you realize you are no longer the one pulling the levers? We keep looking over our shoulders for a glowing red eye in the server room, but maybe the ultimate threshold doesn't look like a sci-fi villain.
Maybe it just looks like an incredibly helpful autocomplete suggestion that you eventually stop questioning.
That is a chilling thought to end on. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.